bless you tonight. Thank you, Sister Tiffany, for obeying the Lord just then. I didn't know why I don't normally sing much before. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Believe it. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother Ricky, would you bring my board over here? God bless you tonight. We're going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 48. I'm so thankful for those that are here tonight. Your faithfulness to God is being recorded in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to pick up where we left off three Friday nights ago. Boy, I sure love my wife. Amen. When you're up here with me, amen, I know everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. All right, we'll go live, Brother Nash, when you're ready. Just let me know when we're live so I can greet everybody. Amen. Good evening and welcome to First Harvest Ministries, to all that are watching on Facebook and Roku and Rumble and First Harvest TV. God bless you for being with us tonight. I know we're coming on a little later than usual, but it's not my fault. Blame it on Him. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. The book of Isaiah is where we're picking up, but I've got to start over in Genesis to lay a quick little foundation for you so that you understand. We're going to chapter 3 of Isaiah tonight. I'm going to cover two chapters, 3 and 4. The last two times I was only able to cover two verses of each chapter. So we're going to try to do a little better tonight. Amen. Now, before I read Genesis, why is the book of Isaiah so important? You need to understand this tonight. The book of Isaiah is so important because it is a prophecy for end time Israel. Always remember that. You are part of the end time Israelite nations, the remnant of Israel. Now, let me show you, and I'll draw it for you in just a moment. Let's go to Genesis 48 and 1 through 6, and we're going to just start off there tonight. Brother Morgan, if you want to come and be ready to read for me this evening, I sure appreciate your faithfulness to Watchman's Ministry last night. These men come every Thursday night at 5 o'clock. I appreciate your faithfulness. I don't care if only one person shows up. Faithfulness is God's commodity. He loves faithfulness. Amen. And it came to pass after these things, verse 1, that one told Joseph, behold, your father is sick, and he took with him two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one said to Jacob, behold, thy son Joseph cometh to thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, now who is Jacob? Israel. They're the same thing. Said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a what? A multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for how long of a possession? Okay. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came to thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, somebody say, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, will be yours. But Ephraim and Manasseh are mine. If you have any more children, they're yours. That day Israel claimed Ephraim and Manasseh as his. Always remember that, because I'm fixing to bring you to Isaiah, and you're not going to understand Isaiah if you don't know who Israel is, okay? And so verse 6 says, Now let's go to Genesis 49 and verse 1. I'm not going to read what all happened here, but I'll explain it to you. Now let's read verse 9. It's verse 1. It's very interesting. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what's going to happen in the end times. Okay? There's your key verse. This is a prophecy of the end times. Read it one more time. That I may tell you that which will befall each one of you when? Right now? No. When he gave it? No. The end. What I'm fixing to tell you in this room is going to happen in the end of time. So that's why if you don't know what happened in that room, you can't know about the end times. It's going to get good tonight if you'll stay with me. Let's go down to verse 19 of the selfsame chapter. And 49:1. And then let's go to verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches what? Only Joseph is a fruitful bough. Only Joseph will meet these criteria. Verse 23. That's right. The archers have grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abides in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty. Somebody say, these nations will be made strong by the hand of Yahweh. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee. And then if you'll keep reading down, you'll find out all the prophecies concerning Ephraim and Manasseh. You may be seated tonight. If you want to write this in your notes, how many's ever heard, where is America in Bible prophecy? When we go to the book of Revelation, we see the bear. We know who the bear is. We see the leopard. We see the dragon. We see all these creatures, but we don't seem to see America. And there's a reason for that. Because it's right under your nose and you've never seen it. Any time you see the word Israel in your Bible concerning the end time. Let me break it down for you. He told these two boys, we've got Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, Israel, Jacob told them when he laid, remember he crossed his hands? It was on purpose, the Bible said. And he told them, let my name be on them. Now he said, Joseph, if you have any more children, my name's not on them. But on Ephraim and Manasseh, my name, which is what? Israel. What's Jacob's name? On those two boys, they will carry the name of Israel. Now, he gives each one of them prophecies. He lays one hand on Ephraim and one hand on Manasseh, and he prophesies what they're going to look like in the end time. Now, I don't have time to prove it tonight. If you're watching online, you can go watch my video called The British Throne if you want to find Ephraim. Because America is Manasseh, but Great Britain is Ephraim. Now, I can prove every bit of it tonight. I don't have time. But when you understand and you divide these nations, if you'll read Bible prophecy, you will find out that there is a lion with a set of what? Wings. Okay? What is the national emblem of Great Britain? The lion. What is the national emblem of America? The eagle. At one time, the lion and the eagle were one. But then Daniel said, I saw as the eagles separated from the lion and stood up like a man. He had the heart of a man. Now, Great Britain is the lion, that is Ephraim, and America is Manasseh. But here's my question, wake up. Both of them are the end time nations of Israel. That state called Israel is not Israel. They are Judah. They're not Israel. Israel is the Caucasus. When we came through the Caucasian mountains, came through the Celtic people, then we came to America, those two nations are in the end time for a specific reason. Okay? Now think about this. Who was it that gave Judah their land back? 1948. The Balfour Treaty was signed by Great Britain. Isn't it amazing that all these empires had that land, the Ottoman Empire, all these empires, but in 1948, Judah's brother Ephraim gave Judah his land back. That's why God raised up Great Britain and made it the greatest empire in the history of the world. If you'll read the prophecy about Great Britain, it said there'll be a multitude of nations. That's an empire. There was no greater empire in the history of the world than the British Empire. There's nowhere the sun ever set where the British Empire was not there. Because they are in time Israel. Now, America. Why do you think when we say Jerusalem, the USA is right in the middle of Jerusalem? Oh, come on, USA. Jerusalem. We are brothers. Yahweh has raised us up for the creation of the land and the protection of the land. Ephraim gave it to them. Manasseh protects them. So this is why God cares about America more than China. This is why America First is the message of the hour. Because God raised us up as a first harvest. America is first. Now, said all that because you have to understand that to understand something else. Watch this carefully. Both America and Great Britain and all of those Commonwealth nations make up the nations of Israel nationally. Tonight, I've got to lay a foundation or you will not follow me when I get to Isaiah. Okay? You have the national Israel, which is America, Great Britain, and these different islands. That's why they're the most blessed people in the world. That's why they still have a crown, a monarchy, when no other nation does hardly. Because God said there will always be someone sitting on David's throne. I can prove to you that. Anyway, I won't do it tonight. But this is national Israel. However, it is not national Israel that is the real Israel. Within, I know some of y'all's lost, I'm so sorry. Within national Israel is the real Israel. There's a wheel in a wheel. And they are called the remnant. Tonight I'm preaching to you, purging the remnant. So within these nations is the remnant that never followed after the national Israel. I don't know how else to explain it, but that way. They are national, you are spiritual. You're the remnant of Israel, of the national. Now, keep that in your mind as we continue our study now in the book of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 3. And now's the only way you can understand tonight's lesson. I had to lay that foundation for you. We're going to Isaiah chapter 3. Praise God. Now, before we read Isaiah, would you turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 and read that for me real quick. Why tonight is the book of Isaiah so important? Because once again, it is a prophecy for who? End time Israel, America, and Great Britain. Now tonight, you're going to get lost if you don't understand these two things. Tonight's not for the children. This is a deep lesson. Wake up and follow me. You've got to understand this too tonight. The book of Isaiah, Sister Katrina, is written to national Israel and the remnant inside of national Israel. So tonight when I begin to give you the prophecy of Isaiah, you've got to be able to take that prophecy and apply it to America and the church, the remnant of America. And the prophecy is going to apply to both. So tonight you're going to hear America and you're going to hear the church. Why? Because as goeth the church, so goes the nation. Okay? But now, why, Brother Vaughn, go back to that Old Testament Isaiah for our day? Because there is no new thing under the sun. There's nothing new. Read what Paul said about the Old Testament.
Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age are come.
Why was the Old Testament written? For you to forget about it? As a warning to the end time generation. That's why it's there. It's not there for you to say, I don't read the Old Testament. He said it is there for an example of what's going to happen again. If you want to know what's going to happen in the end time, go look at what happened to Israel in the Old Testament. Because that Israel lives again in America and Great Britain. And you're going to see in Isaiah's prophecy that he is using this to warn Brother and Sister Connolly, to warn Brother Rick Ezra, to warn you of what God's going to do again in the hour that you and I are living in. Because Isaiah was written to America and Great Britain and all of national Israel, and then it was written to the remnant of Israel. Because only the remnant shall return. Oh, yes. Now, as we enter the third chapter of Isaiah, we left off on the second chapter. You must not be tempted tonight to think that the book of Isaiah was for their day. It had nothing to do with their day. It's all about the age Thomas Morgan is living in. God chose you to duplicate what he did in Israel. It was written for your admonition, for your warning, for you to be able to look back at it and say, I already know how the story ends. And I know, go ahead, sister. Say it one more time. Instruction. It is, and imagine without these instructions, the whole church world ignores these instructions. They think of it as history. God says it's future. And it's for the, what? Who did it say explicitly, Sister Kim, that these stories are for? The upon those upon whom the end of the age is coming. That book of Isaiah was not written for those people. Now there was a, remember, I've taught you there's always a physical fulfillment and then there's always the spiritual fulfillment. They did have the physical fulfillment, but it's just like saying Jesus fulfilled the Passover. No, he didn't. He did a physical fulfillment, but he said, I'm going to eat it with you again in the coming kingdom. That's when it will be spiritually fulfilled. Always follow the pattern. Always. And when the reason I'm laying this down for you, because when we get in these two chapters, your mind is going to be blown tonight. Amen. All right, let's go to verse number 1 of chapter 3. I tell you what, before we go to, let's pick up at verse number 22 of chapter 2. I want to pick up right there. And I want to sort of lead into the next chapter so you know what's going on. Read 2 and 22, Isaiah.
Seize ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein he is to be accounted of.
All right. So here is a warning from God to end time Israel. And the warning is this. You better forget offending man. You better not offend me. Who is man that you're scared to preach the truth to them? He said that the end time Israel was going to get to a place in America and the church. Remember, both running parallel to where men are going to be scared to death to offend men. Absolutely. There's going to come a time when you are going to be scared to death to offend man more than offending Yahweh. You will desire to be politically correct because they will teach you in this hour that we need to use wisdom. We need to be very careful in the how we say it. I could care less how I say it. If God said it, I'll repeat it the way God said it. You call it homosexuality. I call it an abomination. You call it abortion. I call it infanticide. You call it whatever you want to call it. I cannot be afraid of man. He said, you better quit your fear of offending people. God's going to give a supernatural backbone in this hour. To a few of y'all, you're going to catch that Elijah anointing. You need to know tonight that as we come into chapter 3, his main concern is forget about hurting man and tell him the truth. Tell him the truth. Let's start at verse number 1 now. Chapter 3.
For behold, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, doeth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water.
Now hold tight. Verse number 1, here's what Yahweh said is going to happen in America and the church. I'm going to take away the baby formula.
Come on.
Did you ever dream in America that we wouldn't have baby formula? He said, I'm going to take away, when it gets to that end time, from America and Great Britain, I'm going to take away the stay, the water and the bread. I'm going to take away your sustenance. I'm going to send famine to you. I'm going to take it away. You're going to begin to see your resources, your gas, your oil, your whole stay is going to begin to disappear under your nose. But even more than that, in the house of God, there's going to be another famine of the wheat, the word of truth. I'm going to take it away. The preaching of the pure word of God is going to disappear in the house of God in the end time. He said, here's what I'm going to do to my people, national and spiritual. In the church, I'm going to take away their stay. I'm going to remove what they have not appreciated. I'm going to take from them what they have considered as nothing. I'm going to take away their stay. Listen to what he said. I'm going to take away their staff, the whole stay of bread. You're not going to be able to hear in the church the pure preaching of the word of God anymore. Because I'm going to take it away. I preached a message, if you're watching online, called Where Did the Rain Go? I preached it about 4 years ago. It's on FHTV. Where did the rain go? God took the rain away from Israel so that, you know why he took the rain away? So they would not think that he was among them in the state they were in. The reason our church is losing the preaching of the pure word of God, because God himself is taking it away from the end time church, because we have rejected the Lord, and therefore he is rejecting the end time church and America and Great Britain. He's taking it away. And guess what else he's taking away? Read verse number 2.
The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient.
I'm taking it all away from the church. Notice what he's taking away. The mighty man of God. I'm taking the mighty men of God. They're going to die and go to their graves. You're going to hear preachers dying everywhere that stood for truth, because I'm taking them away from an end time church that won't listen to them. I'm taking away the prophet. That's why I don't believe when you show me all these bullock prophets and pink hair prophets. No. Let me tell you, there are so few prophets in the church today because God has taken them, because nobody wants to hear their voice. He said, I'm going to take it all away from the church and from the nation. I'm going to take it away, the mighty man, the man of war. those bold men of God that preaches the truth without fear or favor, they will become like rare commodities in the last day. You'll say to yourself, where have all the preachers gone? You'll go to a church and say, really? Where's the preachers? Where's the prophets? Where's the mighty men of war? God said, I'm going to take them from an end time generation. That's why they hated Donald Trump. He was a mighty man. They like mighty mouses, not mighty men. We are entering into a day now where if you are a strong man, you will be hated by the government and by the church. I've got great news for you today, and you hear me well. A year and a half ago, a great man stood up to our government. His name was Tony Spell. And when they walked in his church to arrest him, he said, I'm ready, take me. He stood up and every Pentecostal in that area, almost every apostolic, turned against Tony Spell. All over Facebook, preachers, I don't care who you are, I'm telling you what you did, you bunch of cowards. They all turned against the prophet of God, a mighty man of war. He went to war with a fake government. He saw those fake governments. He knew they were not abiding by the Constitution. And God called me at that time. This is before Toto ever came around. And I was working somewhere and God said, get your camera and fight for Tony Spell. I said, I don't even like Tony Spell, God. He spoiled, and I could have went down the line. He got an attitude. God said, I didn't ask you that. I told you to stand and fight. I turned on my camera and I stood for Tony Spell a year and a half ago. I lost friends. I had people block me from the Pentecostal church all over Denham Springs, all Brother Johnson's church, everybody, Jeanette Owens, I call all these Jezebels out. Every one of them turned on me. But your Jezebel self, I hope you're watching because you owe him an apology. Let me tell you, some mighty men of war, mighty men of war, God's raising them back up. If you're scared of a mighty man of war, you're part of the problem. God said, take your camera. I took it and I prophesied. I said, this will come to nothing. I said, he will win. I said, every one of you that have turned against him, you will have egg on your face and omelets on your face. I played the video today on my live telecast. And I want you to know what happened today. The Supreme Court. The Supreme Court. Every judge in Louisiana stood by the governor. He went to this court and that court, and they all kept that ankle monitor on his ankle while he preached the gospel. But today, the Supreme Court said, let him go. You violated his rights. You violated his right. God won in the end because he was a man of war. We need men of war. Yes, today he walked out of a courtroom and I read the statement from the judge. The judge said the governor eviscerated this man's rights. And the governor was now told, "You." Let me tell you, when Tony Spell gets through suing the state of Louisiana, I hope he puts his church in the state capitol. I hope he buys it because we need men of war. Billions of dollars are coming his way. Do you know why? Because they violated this man's rights. And when we made a stand, it wasn't easy. Oh no, everybody told me I was a fool, that he ought to just bow down and obey. You go tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego they should have bowed down to a false government, a false law. Men of war. Men of war. They'll obey a valid law, but they'll stand up against a fake law. Men of war. Tony Spell is a hero of the Republic and the Kingdom of God because he stood up. And many of you went down there to New Orleans and stood out there with him. You were part of what God was doing. And tonight, Governor John Bel Edwards wrote a statement that he accepts the verdict of the court that he violated the pastor's constitutional rights. We win. We need men of war. But God said in the end time, church, there won't hardly be any. Do you know that the board that Brother Tony Spell was a part of? I'm going to blast them all. He was part of the Apostolic World Fellowship with Larry Booker. And all those preachers, every one of them, kicked him off the board. That his grandfather helped build because they are cowards. We need men of war that'll fight against tyranny for our people. They kicked it. Brother B.A. Spell paid for the AWF. It was his money, his grandfather, that his money built the, what they call it, AWF, something like that. They built, and they, Tony was on the board, and they kicked him off because he stood up against the government. You know, exactly right. And I tell you one thing, we're living in an hour where men of war have been taken from us. That's why when you find one, you need to say, where do I sign up? I'm ready to fight for the work of God and the work of this wonderful, because we are the nation of Israel. It's worth fighting for. America is first, because America is the end time nation of Israel. Tony Spell was fighting for Israel and he don't even know it. God said, I'm going to take away the men of war. And listen what else he said. I'm going to take away the prophets. I'm going to give you pink-haired prophets instead. Oh, and I'm going to take away the prudent and the elders. I'm going to take away the honorable men and give you shysters. And I'm going to take away the orators. Now, that's interesting to me. Now listen to me carefully. He's going to take away the orators, the eloquent orators. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, preaching was an art. There were men that could, they were orators. They could preach. They didn't get up and bore you to death. They didn't talk for hours and say nothing. They were orators. They had the gift of preaching. They could take the word of God like Mark Hamby and other men and Brother Kenneth Phillips and so many preachers that were orators of the gospel. Billy Cole and T.F. Tenney. When they spoke, they were orators. But you know what God said? I'm gonna take those good preachers away and give you a bunch of talkers. You're going to walk in their church and they're going to be up there with their little jeans and their little skinny jeans and their little podium just walking around talking to you. The orators are going to be gone. The men that could preach are going to be gone. Now, all they want you to do is a TED talk. Baby, I'm not Ted and I don't talk. I'm a preacher of the gospel. That's what this generation is missing today, is men that can rear back and preach the word of God. And I'm going to say something now, and it's going to hurt somebody's feelings maybe, but that's all right. I'm known for it. If you can't preach, don't preach. Oh, well, I might as well stay there because I could feel that, so I'll do it again. If you can't preach, don't preach. Get up and testify. Talk. But there is a gift of preaching the word of God. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. But you see, but it doesn't matter. Nowadays, it don't matter. Every church you walk in, can't none of them preach. They'll turn to Psalms and say, well, let's see how this applies to our life. Well, how does this apply to you, sister? Are you the preacher or me? Who's doing the preaching? We don't want preachers. We don't want strong preachers. We want somebody that'll yield the whole service. Let everybody talk. Honey, that's the last thing you need in church is everybody talking, because it turns into a mess. Yeah. Honey, I get real cautious when people go to, there's certain one. Look, I'm like, well, hold on now. Why? Because the Bible said do all things in decency and in order. You don't come grab this microphone. You ask for it. Order. Decency. God, but you see now, we don't want preachers that keep it decent and in order. We want preachers that scared of the people so the people can take over and do what they want to do. God puts a man in a congregation to be over that congregation, to over them in the Lord. But God said in end time America and in the end time church won't be no preachers left. You don't believe me? Go right down the street tomorrow morning and go in and listen. I've listened. Well, let's open the new man Bible and let's see. Oh, it says here. Yeah, it says here that you can have a better life right now if you just do. How do you feel about that? I ain't asking nobody how you feel about it. I come to preach to you. God's calling men to preach again. We need preachers. We need preachers that can preach the word of God without fear or without favor. Now, here's what God's going to do to the end time church. He's going to take these gifts away. And listen to what he's going to do in place of those gifts. Why don't we go down now to verse number 4.
And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them.
I'm going to take the strong preachers out and give you a bunch of immature preachers, a bunch of children up leading the church, novices that don't know their way out of a paper bag, and I'm going to give you what you want, nothing. And I'm going to, now let's take it to the national level. And I'm going to give you a government in America that reminds you of a bunch of children running it. I'm going to take that strong man away. You better hear me now. I've told you, it's going down two veins. Follow me. He said, in America, in time, I'm going to take that strong man of war away. And I'm going to give you an invalid child, because you're going to get what you deserve. Children like Kamala. We've gone from Camelot to Kamala in the White House. We've gone from Camelot, the Kennedys, Camelot to Camelot. And God said, in end time Israel, I'm going to take that strong leader away. And I'm going to give you children now to rule over America. And Great Britain. I'm going to take Her Majesty and give you Charles. You won't, but I'm also going to do it in the church. You want children? I'm going to let children get in that pulpit and preach nothing but the milk of the word to you, because that's what you want. I'm taking that strong preaching away because you've rejected it. You've said, when I go to church, I want someone that makes me feel better about myself. That's the last thing you need, because you already love yourself. You need a man of God to eviscerate you and destroy yourself. But in the end time, church, I'm taking them away, and I'm going to give you children. In America, you're going to look at your government and say, we got children running the farm. I mean, when you've got a government that can't keep formula on the shelves, you would expect that in Russia. You would expect that in China, not in the United States of America. But God said, I'm going to give you your children. You want children? I'll take them. Now, hold on. There's good news in the next part, because the strong man comes back. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on now. I told you that's an end time prophecy. For the day you're living in. And listen to what he said. And babies are going to rule over you. And the people, verse 5, read.
And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable.
You're going to, in the last day, your children are going to be so out of control. You want children to rule over you? I'm going to let the children rule over you. Oh, yes. I'm going to let them rule over America. I'm going to give you people like Circleback. I'm going to give you people that looks like children, acts like children, don't know their head from a hole in the ground, don't know how to count to it. Inflation, they think it's 8%. It's more like 30%. They can't even count. I went in the store the other day, mayonnaise, $8 a bottle. And you're going to tell me inflation's only 8%? I pay $2 for mayonnaise. How'd it got to $8? That ain't 8%, darling. That's about 300%. Let's keep going now. Read the next verse. And here's who's going to rule over you. Listen, read.
When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand.
Now hold on. He said it's going to get so bad in America that you're going to go to a man that has no business running the nation. But because he's got a cloak, you say, okay, you qualified. Would you lead? Wow. Because you look like a president. You've got the right suit. Would you stand up and take over? And listen to what that man's going to tell him. Read.
In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people.
He's going to say, why did y'all make me president? I don't even have a clue. I don't even know what I'm doing. How did this happen? I don't want to be nobody's president. Come on. Come on. Lost. Say, wait a minute. Lost. Obama, why did you do this to me? It's going to get so bad that they're going to say, hey, Joe,
yes, sir.
We need you to, we can't let Bernie in, right. And we can't let Hillary. Would you mind, would you please,
yeah.
Would you do it? Oh, you got a cloak. You look like a president. You got your hair combed over. You look like, would you be our president? And you know what he says? That's exactly what they did. And you know what Obama's, I mean, what Biden said after that? How did this happen? I don't want to be nobody's president. Why am I here? How did I get here? No, he said in that verse, they will say, no, we don't want to rule. But we will be so messed up mentally, we will prefer that over a strong man. And in the church, we'll say, can we vote you in as pastor? Can we vote you in because that kind of preaching right there? No. Well, and you say, well, I ain't got no qualification. Perfect. But I don't really know the Bible. Perfect. Will you be the pastor? Anybody follow me? That's the day we're in. We despise strength. And that's why God's taking strength away from America and the church. Because we have despised strength. We've been so worried about offending man. Now let's read the next verse. It gets worse.
For Jerusalem is ruined, and the Jew and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Yahweh to provoke the eyes of his glory.
Notice what he said. America, you're falling. Great Britain, you're falling. Because you have provoked Yahweh. Read the next verse.
The shoe of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not.
Yahweh was okay. He was okay when you was in the closet. But when you legalized it and when you brought it out, now Yahweh has a vengeance upon America. Because of the count. Notice what his problem is. His problem's not with sin at this point. It's with their countenance. Yeah. Come on. No longer ashamed. You don't hide anymore. You used to sneak to the abortion clinic. Now you bring the whole family with you. Your face. You used to be ashamed of sin, but now America has no more shame. We're ashamed of nothing. When you have to look at Fox News now and see Caitlyn Jenner as a commentator on Fox News, and they force that in your face, that is normal. This is why Yahweh says, America, I gave you the president you deserved. I gave you the leader you asked for. I gave you a child to rule over you. The day before the election, I went live and I told America, tomorrow you will get the president that you deserve. If you would have loved the strength of America first, you would have got a good president. But because you hated strength and because of your open sin, God gave you a child to rule over Israel. Now, why did God do it? I'm fixing to teach you. Why did God allow Joe Biden in the White House? Oh, I'm fixing to show you why. It's all in the Word. Oh, yeah. Read. For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Yeah. Baby, I don't know why you're crying over AIDS with your homosexual self.
But before that, it says, woe unto their souls.
Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded their own self with their own doings. This is why America is falling. This is why the church is falling. And the church is out there trying to, oh Lord, help me now. The church is out there trying to raise money for AIDS awareness. Ain't nobody raising money for holiness awareness to quit crawling into bed with them. Well, we need to go out there, and I ain't raising no money for AIDS awareness. I'll preach you about holiness awareness. I'll tell you how to get rid of AIDS forever. Crawl out of bed.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-oh, y'all didn't know it was going to be like this tonight. But I like verse 10. I love verse 10. What does it say?
Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. Woo. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings.
Listen, you tell the righteous, when I bring judgment against America, they ain't got nothing to worry about. It's going to be okay with the righteous because they're going to eat the fruit of their doing while the wicked eats the fruit of their doing. So no matter what's happening around you, you're going to be all right. The Bible said it will be well with the righteous. Don't you worry. Don't you get discouraged, fearful. With you, it's going to be all right. You're going to have baby formula. You're going to have food. You're going to have everything you need. Woo! You tell them showing up on the Sabbath. You tell them paying their tithe. You tell them seeking to obey me. They ain't got nothing to worry about. When they look around saying, how did this election happen like it happened? How did this evil? God said, you tell my people they have nothing to worry about. Somebody said, what are we going to do? It's falling apart. For them it is, but not for you. If you're righteous tonight, I don't care how high inflation goes, your money will go just as high as inflation. God's got you, honey. God's got you. Don't you worry about anything. In the house of God, we got reverse inflation. Oh yeah, we got reverse inflation. While y'all's prices is going up, our blessings are going up. The righteous will never be forsaken.
Come on.
But verse 11, what does it say about them folk?
Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him.
But now listen to what God says you're going to see in the end time church. In verse 12, as for my people, national Israel and the remnant, here's what's going to happen in the end time America. Listen.
As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them.
Women is going to rule over the church and over America. Honey, there's a Jezebel spirit in our land.
Come on.
They hate men like me.
Come on.
They hate men like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They hate a man that's a man of war.
Oh, come on.
Now, here's what God said is going to happen in the church. Now, listen carefully. This is very important. He ain't just talking about females ruling. Because he ain't talking about children actually ruling. He's talking about men that act like children and men that act like women. Booty gag will rule over you. Booty boy, booty gag will rule over you. Y'all know booty gag? Yeah. He's the homosexual. What's he over in America? Who's he over? Huh? He's over the Department of Transportation. The first openly gay leader in Washington is gay. His name's Buttigieg. Do y'all think I made that up? Katrina, is that his name? Buttigieg? Buttigieg. It's Buddha something. How are you going to have the first gay leader named Buttigieg? How are you going to do that? Because he acts like a woman. Say it again.
returns void.
Never returns void. He said in the end time church, I'm going to let men be the pastor and let them be run by the women because they ain't got a backbone. It's going to happen in the end time church. And he said, I'm going to let your presidents be men that act like women. I'm going to give you a president, because Trump don't act like a woman. I'm going to give you a president that's controlled by Kamala. I'm going to give you a president that's controlled by Jezebel, because that's what you ask for. And in the church, I'm going to give you pastors that are scared of everybody like women. I'm talking about the national church. He said in the last days, we're going to have women bishops, women, and then the men's going to be women. Everybody's going to be feminized. Oh, yeah. He said, you didn't want a strong pastor. So I'm going to give you one that acts like a woman and let you run him. Let you tell him how to run the church. He's going to be a woman. I hope you're hearing the prophet. God said in the end time America, everything will be run by women. There will be no men left. I didn't write the book. Y'all know I'm reading it. God said in the end time, everybody will be like women, feminized. Men will be scared of their own wives. Pastors will be scared of their church members. Everybody will be like women. Because God said in his word, I'm going to take the strong men out. And every church you walk in, they're going to be scared to tell you the truth because there's not a man in the building. Do you not believe we're living in that moment? The church is completely feminized. God said to end time Israel, women will rule over the men. And men that will act like women will rule. That's why God loves order. He loves order. You know what's so funny to me? Somebody said, I wouldn't sit under no woman pastor. I said, darling, that man you sitting under, his wife is the pastor. He just got the title, darling. Come on. Yeah. You sitting under a woman pastor. See what I'm telling you? You better hear me now. I'm preaching the end time message. I'm telling you what it's going to look like. In America and the church. Let's read.
My people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths.
These men that act like women are going to cause the church to err. They're going to destroy the what? The path for you to walk in. Because they scared you. Might get mad at them. They like women. He said, they're going to cause my church to err. Because they cannot. Let me try to help you tonight. In the day that Isaiah wrote this, he wasn't putting down on women. Okay? But listen carefully. In those days, women depended on men. So what he's telling you is, the men that lead God's church will be like women depending on the congregation. That's why I've never took a dime from this church. I don't depend on one of you. I don't need nobody in this church. That's why I can preach you the truth without fear, without favor. Stay or go, I'm still going to be here making people mad. It's what I do. They're going to cause you to err. Listen, it's these women, male pastors, not women, women, male pastors that's scared of the people that's going to cause them to err. Does anybody see the day you're living in? Say it again.
Looks a lot like that chapter.
Because everything that has been will be again. You're living, what did 1 Corinthians say? This is a warning to the end time church. When you read that chapter, you're going to see the age you live in. You're going to see people in the White House that's run by women. Donald Trump wasn't run by no woman. Read. And this pastor ain't run by no woman or nobody. You know why? I'm run by the voice of God. He alone controls this church. Not me, but Him. It'll always be that way. I married a lady. My wife has never, ever tried to run this church or tried to run me. I married a lady.
That's right.
And if you're a lady in this room, before you get married, you let your husband rule the home. If he's a godly man, honor him, respect him, and love him, and be a lady in the house of God. I better move on because I'm getting in trouble.
Preach it,
Pastor. All right. But now here's what it says in verse 13. But something's going to happen. Somebody say something's going to happen. When it gets to that point where women, don't leave, son. Oh, okay, good. When women start ruling the church, when pansy men start running the church, God said something's going to happen. Yahweh's going to stand up. Read.
The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people.
Read.
The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is
Listen,
in your houses.
Yahweh's going to enter judgment with these pastors and these presidents. For you have eaten up the vineyard.
Come on.
The spoil of the poor is in your houses. Verse 15, read.
What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts?
What mean you letting my people destroy themselves by not teaching them the commandments? What mean you telling them, you want to know why they're all addicted? It's because of you, oh pastor. You want to know why they're all married, double, triple, quadruple, can't stay? Because you up there preaching it's all okay. You're causing them to be poor. The Bible said if you obey the commandments, you'll be rich. You'll be the head and not above and not. But because you won't teach the commandment, you've eaten up the vineyard. You made my people poor. Because you didn't preach nothing. You was a woman. You was depending on the people instead of on the Lord. And he said, in this hour, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to judge you. How am I going to judge America? And how am I going to judge the church? I'm going to give you a leader that will let you destroy yourself in the nation and in the church. Anytime God judged a nation, he allowed a wicked leader to rise up. I know I'm long-winded tonight, but I ain't got nowhere to go. I hadn't been here in 2 weeks. Anytime God judges a nation, he'll raise up a Hitler.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. You don't believe God raised up Hitler? You better go read the book of Jeremiah.
That's right.
When he told the Jewish people, I'll send hunters to find you.
Come on.
Hitler was one of those hunters. He found them, and that's what brought Jerusalem back to the land. That's what made them want to go back home, because God allowed what they desired, a wicked leader. You want to run from me? You want to go? I'll give you what you ask for. I'll give you a Joe Biden. Let your deficit go through the roof. I'll let your inflation go to the end of the world. I'll let your gas prices get to where you can't drive. Why? You chose judgment. But my people, it won't even affect them. They will be taken care of. I'm going to enter into judgment. You beat my people. Listen what he's going to do to the church now, verse 16.
Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty.
Because the church has gotten haughty.
They're proud. And walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet.
Yeah, you got your high heels tinkling with your little ankle bracelets on. And then, now God wasn't, he wasn't saying nothing against those things. He was speaking of the pride
that had
developed, and those were symbols of it.
Yeah.
And he said, you walk around with your ankles tingling, your necks out, and you call yourself my church. Your pride has destroyed you, and you're walking around. I'm about to judge the church of Babylon. I'm about to judge you.
Come on.
Read.
Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And the Lord will discover their secret
hold
parts.
On now. You walk around America proud with your little high heels tinkling. You got your Louis Vuitton and you got your whoever. You walk around with your pride, America. But he said, here's what I'm about to do in the end time. I'm going to send a disease among you.
Wow.
And I'm going to send it to the crown of the people of Zion. Who did I tell you Israel is? America. We are the crown of the people of Zion. We are the crown of Israel. And I'm going to get it to where you have to wear a mask instead of your tinkling cymbals. I'm going to send a scab on your head. And instead of walking around like you in control, you're going to be scared to shake hands with anybody. I'm sending a scab to the crown of Israel. America! We've had more deaths than any other nation. Why? Because we thought we had so much control. We thought we could conquer anything. We couldn't even conquer the cold virus. Called coronavirus. God said, I'm going to send a scab. And you're going to quit your little tinkling. Like you're in control of something. I'm going to show you. You ain't even in control of your sneezing. Keep reading for me so I can preach.
In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments.
Now listen what he said. I'm going to do what? I'm going to expose the swamp.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
You walk around America, but I'm going to expose your secret parts. I'm going to expose what you've been doing in the dark. And I'm going to do it in the church too.
Come on.
This is end time Israel. Read.
Yeah. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet.
You won't be so brave with your mask on.
And their calls, their And their round tires like the moon.
That's your earrings, your round earrings that you're so proud of. I'm going to show you who's in control, Reed.
The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the veils, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the head.
I'm going to take all your wealth. Listen.
The headbands and the tablets.
I'm going to take it all, Reed.
And the earrings. The rings and the nose jewels.
I'm taking the nose jewelry. I'm taking your earrings. I'm taking everything that you thought made you important. Read.
The changeable suits of apparel.
I'm taking your clothes.
And the mantles.
I'm taking your mantles.
And the wimples.
I'm taking everything and putting you in quarantine for a year and a half.
And the crisping pins.
And
the crisping pins.
And I'm taking your bobby pins away from you too.
The glasses and the fine linen.
I'm taking away your glasses. You can't see no more. I'm taking away your fine linen. I'm going to bring you down, America. I'm going to bring Babylon down. I'm going to bring it all down and give you childish rulers that act like women. Read.
And the veils, and it shall come to pass.
Hold on, what verse you in?
24.
What is it?
And it shall come to pass.
Listen.
That instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink.
There's going to be a swamp. My. Instead of that sweet cover up you was doing, I'm going to expose your stink. I'm going to do it in the church too. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to show you. I'm going to take away the bread. I'm going to take away the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. Yeah. Come on. You need to go watch my video, Where'd the Rain Go? I'm taking it all away so you won't be deceived. Yeah. I'm taking it away. Brother Vaughn, where's the miracles? Where's the signs?
Yeah.
They were deceiving you. I took them away. Because you was living in sin with signs. You didn't have no commandments, but you was getting the sick to heal. You was raising the dead, but you was living like hell. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to take your healing services. How long has it been since you've seen a divine healing service? They're gone. I don't care what anybody tells you. They used to line up by the thousands for healing, and God would raise them. You seen it lately? No, there's a famine in the land.
Right.
And only the strong are going to survive it. Because a lot of people can't serve God without signs. But there's a remnant that can. We don't need one. We know the word. We're going to survive. We're going to survive this drought. I took them away. Why you got your foot on my Sabbath day. Why you don't, but you got the, you want to heal the sick? He said, now I'll do it when I want to do it. In those days, I did it when you commanded it. In those, but now I'll do it on those I want to heal. Brother Vaughn, you're saying God don't heal the sick. I'm telling you, there's a famine in the lands, what I'm telling you. And now, if you don't get in this word, if you can't serve God without a miracle, you ain't going to make it. If you can't serve God without a sign, you ain't going to make it. Why do you think God said, I'm going to take their wheat and the water? I'm taking it. That was their miracles. I'm going to teach my people how to live in the wilderness and how to depend on me for their manna, for every bite, for everything. They're going to trust my word and not my wonders. Oh my God. Am I saying God won't do it today? No. But I'm telling you, there's a famine in the land. There was a time you didn't walk in our services without going home healed. I remember those days. But honey, that God has taken something. There is something missing in the church. I'm telling you, there's something missing. And I'm going to tell you what it is. We are down to pruning time. Only the strong, somebody say, only the strong are going to survive the end time. Woo, Shabbat. You better plant your feet, read, so I can go home.
And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girder of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty.
That's what you're going to see in the end time church. Burning instead of beauty. Now read, and I'm fixing to get to my...
Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground.
Now somebody say, thank God for chapter 4. Because I'm fixing to get in there now. I'm showing you the condition of the modern church. But I want to tell you what chapter 4 says. Tonight's sermon is purging the remnant. Read verse 4.
And in that... Oh, verse 4 in chapter 4?
Yeah, chapter 4, verse 1.
Oh, verse 1. And in that day...
In that day, which is what? Right after this age we're in. Okay. Where only the strong survive. After that day, at the end of that 6 day, here's what's going to happen. Read.
7 women shall take hold of one man, saying... We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
Here's what's going to happen. After the church has gotten down to the bottom, the number 7 represents completeness, perfection. Listen carefully. 7 women. These are virgin women. These are women that represents the 7 church ages. He said, in that day, this church, after I've pruned her and taken everything from her, is going to start looking for a husband. And that husband's going to be the Word of God. She's going to cling to this husband. Here's what she's going to say. We'll do anything. Just put us back in the covenant with you. You better hear me now. After I've taken the water and the word, after the mirror, after, and she's still, whoever's left, somebody say, whoever's left. The remnant. She's going to get so desperate that she's going to find this man. I believe his name is Yahshua, by the way. Adadabahaya. In that day, 7 women, a church that's been perfected in the fire, it's going to look for a husband that she's ready to marry. Chapter 3 was dark. Chapter 3 was talking about the fall. But chapter 4 says when it's over, there's going to be somebody left that survives. Notice, she's going to have that number what?
7.
Is she going to be a Sabbath-keeping wife? That's the 7 churches in Revelation. Listen to me. That's Philadelphia, Sardis, Smyrna. That's Laodicea. All of these churches. Now guess what they're ready to do? They're ready to do anything. They're ready to obey. Why? God took their miracles away. God took that strong preaching away. God took the men and they got to the point where everything was destroyed but a remnant. And that remnant is going to say, we're ready to marry you. We're ready to commit. They said, we'll do anything. We'll keep the feast. You want us to keep the feast? We'll keep it. You want us to keep the Sabbath? We'll keep it. Just marry us. Let us be the bride. I'm preaching about after the remnant has been purged. How is she being purged? In this church age, where the church is falling all around her, but a few hold on to truth. That's going to be with that seven women. That's going to be that perfected Sabbath keeping woman. Seven! What is today? The seventh day. There's very few people in the church worshiping today. Somebody say sealed by seven. God had to take away her bread, her stay, her miracles, her signs, and her wonders to find out if there was anybody in that mess that was a true virgin bride. They had to get to the point. God's going to have a church. I said God's going to have a seven church. And we're going to go through some stuff. We're going to look around and see the church falling all around us. Babylon falling. We're going to see men no longer preaching in the church, but now people just talking. And we're going to be like, my God, we can't take this much longer. But we're going to hold on to truth. And God said in that day, those women are going to find their husband. And I'm going to know who my true wife is after. Hallelujah. Now let me please finish now. We got a few more verses. Read it carefully. What's going to happen when that woman finds her husband? Read.
In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious.
Oh, the branch of the Lord.
And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. For them that are escaped of Israel.
Hold on now. Hold on now. What did I teach you in the beginning? He said they've escaped from where?
Escaped of Israel.
There's going to be a remnant that escapes from that backslidden Israel. Robosaya. Woo! Woo! They're coming out of even America. They're coming out of natural Israel. And he said there's going to be somebody that escapes that church. Oh my God. He said there's going to be somebody escapes the church. Honey, if you're in the church, run for your life. Run for your life. Escape Babylon and come to truth. Somebody say run for your life. Why? Because in that day, when this woman is revealed after the church has fallen, then the branch of the Lord, which is Yahshua, will be beautiful and glorious. But I love this next part. And the fruit of the earth will be excellent and comely for them that are escaped out of Israel. Oh my God, do you know what the fruit of the earth is? That's the rest of men. Oh God, help me now. He said, for those that escape out of Israel, they're going to get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. given to this little 7-member bride. Shidabasta. If you can survive the destruction of the church, if you can hold on, the fruit of the earth will be given to you. The people of the earth will be yours in the coming kingdom of Yahweh. He said, the whole planet's waiting for you. I just need you to escape from Israel. I just need you to escape from Babylon. And it shall come to pass, verse 3. Listen.
And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem.
Oh, God.
Shall be called holy.
Shadabashtokobosha. If there's anybody left, oh my God. Come on. After the purging of the remnant, that's the title of the purging of the remnant. If anybody survives, you can take your worldwide revival and tell them they lied. According to this word, if anybody survives, them women preachers. Those men that act like women. Follow me. I'm not preaching against women preachers. I'm preaching against men that act like women. Yeah, he said, if you can survive them men. Y'all thought Caitlyn Jenner was new? It's been in the church before it was in the world. Dressed like a man, preaching like a woman. He said, if anybody can survive the deception, because they preach, oh, they're so beautiful. They just want you to be happy. All they want is your, they just want you to love John 3. Just love the Lord. He said, if anybody survives that, they shall be called holy. Now, you know when that's going to happen, and I'm closing. Verse number 4. Do you know when that's going to happen? Verse number 4. When Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the church.
Ooh, come on.
And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof. But how's he going to do it? Hold on. How's he going to purge? Oh, this is where it gets good. By the spirit of burning.
Oh, come on.
Anybody ever heard of the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
What did John say? It was like a winnowing flame in his hand and burning. He said, I'm going to send a spirit of burning in that church. And if anybody survives the burning, they will be holy. My God, from Zion. Yes, sir. If anybody survives, you tell them the fruit of the earth is waiting for them. I believe the Lord told you tonight, look beyond, look out there, and see what's coming. The fruit of the earth. If you can survive. I said, if you can survive. This modern church. Brother Vaughn, how can I survive? You're going to feel. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost to survive. Hear me. You're not going to make it without the Holy Ghost. You'll be deceived. It's only the Spirit of God that tells you that ain't right. Fire. He said, Listen. The Lord will wash away the filth by the spirit of burning. Them old saints used to say, glad to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Because it'll burn everything that you owe, my God. But if you survive the burning, you're feeling the burning tonight. Burn, baby, burn. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what he said in verse 5. If you survive the burning, Yahweh will create on every dwelling place Mount Zion, and he'll put up on that assembly a cloud. Oh, he's going to put on that assembly a cloud and smoke by day and a fire by night. And the glory of God will be our defense. And there will be, listen, a tabernacle for the shadow from the heat and for a covert from the storm and the rain. If you will let God burn you, God will protect you. God will deliver you. God will keep you from the storm and from the rain. God will do it. Would you stand tonight? You must have that fire and Holy Ghost. You must be burned by the fire of God. Would you let that fire begin to fall right now in this building tonight? Would you allow the burning fire of the Spirit of Yahweh to fall upon you? Would you allow that fire to burn in this house tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands to heaven right now, every single one of you, and let the fire of God